Our reading for today is from Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head, and his face was like the sun, and his legs like the pillars of fire. He had a little scroll open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he called out with a loud voice, like a lion roaring. When he called out, the seven thunders sounded. And when the seven thunders had sounded, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down." And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and what is in it, the earth and what is in it, and the sea and what is in it, that there would be no more delay. But in the days of the trumpet call to be sounded by the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be fulfilled, just as he announced to his servants the prophets. Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me again, saying, "Go, take the scroll that is open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land." So I went to the angel and told him to give me the little scroll. And he said to me, "Take and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey." And I took the little scroll from the hand of the angel and ate it. It was sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And I was told, "You must again prophesy about many peoples and nations and languages and kings." So here in chapter 10, it says another strong angel. So it seems to be that this angel is distinguished from the seven angels of the trumpets and the four that were bound at the Euphrates, chapter 9, verse 14. Along with this description that is here, we have a similarity between this angel and its description and the description in chapter 1 of Jesus. And so some people try to conclude that this was Jesus. However, Jesus is never referred to as an angel, and so I reject that outright. And just because there are some similarities in the way that it is presented does not mean this has to be Jesus. It says it's an angel, so I would take it as such. There is mention here in verse 2 about this little scroll or a little book or booklet, depending on, you know, which version you're reading from. But I would caution you not to confuse this with the book that is in chapter 5, the sealed book, that apparently was much larger than this. This small book or scroll is already open, and it contains one aspect of God's purpose. And John could open it, he could read it, he could assimilate it, he could understand it. And so I think we should view it as different. The significance is made apparent in verses 9 through 11. We'll get there in just a moment. The idea of one foot on the land, one foot in the sea, I think is just indicating the far-reaching scope of the mission of this particular angel. Then chapter 3, crying with this great voice like a lion, and the seven thunders. The lion roaring gives emphasis to might and the greatness of it. Probably indicating being heard throughout all of creation. We see other passages in the Old Testament, for instance, in Jeremiah 25, verse 30, that when Jehovah issues a warning to the wicked, he did so with a great roar. In Hosea 11, verse 10, there's the roar of a lion that is referred to Jehovah as well. And Joel chapter 3 and verse 16, there was a roar that shook the heavens. Amos chapter 3 and verse 8, the words of the prophets, that is speaking the word of God to them, caused men to fear as when a lion roars. So I think we have a lot of indications to help us understand what he means here. So what the angel has to say and what message he delivers needs to be heard and heeded by all, because it is God speaking. And the seven thunders respond to the angel's cry, carrying on in verse 4, saying that their seven thunders uttered their voices. So maybe just a reference to the sound of the voices more than it being literal thunder. It's hard to say. But if you combine the idea of the roaring lion and the thunder coming, I think you'd understand that whatever's going on with this angel, whatever he's come to do or deliver, then people are going to notice People are going to take notice because it's going to be a terrifying event. Just like we had with the roaring lion, we have lots of references to the idea of thunder in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 9, you have the plague of hail in Egypt, and thunder accompanied that hail. You have the appearing of the Lord on Horeb in Exodus 19 as well as 20, that there was thunder there and it caused the people to tremble. 1 Samuel 7 and verse 10, God affected the Philistines with great thunder. And then 2 Samuel 22, lightning and thunder. So there's plenty of references as well to the idea of capturing attention, causing fear, causing men to tremble. And this is because it is the Lord speaking. In verse 5, it says that this angel raised his right hand to heaven. That's usually associated with making a solemn vow or swearing to something. And so verse 6 accompanies that. Swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and what is in it, the earth and what is in it, the sea and what is in it, that there would be no more delay, but in the days of the trumpet call to be sounded by the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be fulfilled. It's pretty obvious who he's talking about, since God is the creator of all things. And so this is not only the angel giving the oath along with what's happening, but it's an oath on God himself, God's power and God's strength and his position as creator. Now, trying to attribute this idea of the mystery of God being fulfilled and what that is referring to in time, whether we're talking about the day of judgment or something before then, which would be the time that this was written, is difficult to say. I'm not sure that I could give you a confident answer on that. However, I will add that if you look at this in an overall context and realize that they're not done with all the woes and all of that that we've been reading, then I think there may be an indication that he's not talking about the day of judgment and the beginning of eternity, but rather some other purpose of God, perhaps relating to the church. Verse 8, John is told to go take the scroll that is open in the hand of the angel. Verse 9, he went to the angel and told him to give him the scroll. He said, take and eat it. Remember that John is still having a vision of spiritual things, so I would not take this literally. We're talking about a vision that's going on here. But he is told that it would make his stomach bitter, even though it tasted sweet as honey. This is very similar to what we find in Jeremiah chapter 15 as well, as Ezekiel chapter 2 and into chapter 3. So it's not the first time we've seen this idea of taking the message of God and eating it. And here with John, this idea of sweetness and bitter is you've got the sweetness of what God offers. You've got the sweetness of the gospel, the good news. But at the same time, you have the bitterness of the condemnation that comes along with that same good news. And that's where verse 11 comes into play when he says, you must again prophesy about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. So the message has not been fully delivered. There's still the message of both good news and judgment that must be proclaimed to those that are in the world. And so that brings us to the end of chapter 10. In our next reading, we'll go into chapter 11. I would ask that you please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.